Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
We're back at Whiskey Congress, so we finished our last show talking about the state senator from Missouri asking for, or saying she hopes Trump gets assassinated. I think we covered that far enough.
It's a no-no, folks.
It is a no-no, and we're not, anyway. But, so there's something else. Let's get into more social media and more just media in general.
Entertainment
would be the word to use. Yes, yes.
Entertainment.
So we're still drinking the Ardbeg Kelpie, which is phenomenal.
Isn't it though, Jim?
It is. I'm trying to keep the pace on. You know, when we do the second half of the show, sometimes the whiskey has an effect.
Right, and it's early,
middle of the
it's
day, even, so we, yeah, we're being
5 o'clock yet. So.
But there's a show coming to HBO, or is it? And the show is called Confederate, and the show is about, as I understand it, what would happen if the South had won the Civil War. So we talked in the last show about how they didn't. You lost. We're taking down your participation trophies. But I don't know a whole lot about it. You brought it to my attention, Steve. And what I understand is that it's, like I said, it's about what if the South won the war. And that is, to me, from purely artistic and logistical angle, an interesting concept. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
So when you think of this show and you think of it as an interesting concept, and this is just pure out of pure curiosity, like what are you thinking? Like, so
I'm envisioning a second country. I'm envisioning a country to our south that is essentially a hostile nation where black people are still property, and once you cross a certain line, you switch from being property and become a person, and how that would impact us in today's society. Is that what it's about? When you say that in those words, it sounds so fucked up. But
right.
Yet,
well, I mean, and so here's my other question. Would you watch it?
Yes.
Okay. So this has been done before in a couple different, couple different levels, couple different, whether it's, you know, cable or made for TV movie or, you know, History Channel or something along those lines. Also, there's something on Amazon, Amazon Prime. They have Man in the High Castle, which is almost the same thing where, you know, what if Hitler and the Nazis had won World War II, what would the world look like? And it's a very interesting show. And I have to think about...
I've never heard of that. Well, I'll look into it now.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
No. Not yet.
So you couldn't get into Harvard and you don't have Amazon Prime.
You keep bringing that up. And
because it's awesome. Why wouldn't I?
All right. And when I say I would watch it, I would. Now, I wouldn't necessarily buy into it. If it
be rooting for the
South? No.
No, but
if it sucked, I would say, all right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
I would give it a shot. Like Westworld is something I watched two episodes of and I will eventually get back into. And Dora makes her opinions felt. Yep. Dora, come on, bud.
Hey,
that's Dora the Rottweiler who has interrupted our show in the past.
Hey, I can talk about my dog. You leave her be.
Hey,
Dora's my buddy.
Sounds like it.
Dora's my buddy. Oh, come on! I walk in, I walk in. She's ready to tear someone apart, and I tell her it's me, and she runs up and says, "Pet me, bitch." Essentially. Anyway,
sure.
Yes, I would watch a show. If it ended up being garbage, I wouldn't stick with it, but I would be curious.
Okay, so here are my thoughts on this show. Can't let it happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Can't you? If you're HBO, you say shut the shit down.
Yeah. And the reason why is there's a number of different reasons why, right? Like, it's the people who are making the show. It's the same people who brought us Game of Thrones. So, you know, people think of that and say, "Oh, yeah, well, George R. R. Martin." you know, wrote the books for Game of Thrones.
Right.
And then you have your producers and writers who bring the books to, you know, HBO, bring right. them to TV.
Put them to life on TV, right.
And you know, so this is kind of their idea of what they want to do. On the surface, seems innocent, seems interesting, seems like it makes perfect sense.
It seems to me like an intellectual exercise, right?
Sure.
Okay.
But the problem is, as a black person watching Game of Thrones, why the fuck would I trust them with that? Right? Like, because here's the thing. When you talk about Civil War, you talk about slave movies, right? It's, for the most part, it's typically a slave movie is a movie that's, in most instances, over the last 30, 40 years, written, directed by, you know, white writers, white directors, white producers. And typically, there's a white hero that makes everything better for all the slaves if they can, right? You know,
I've not seen Birth of a Nation start to finish. Is that true of that movie? Because I don't think it is.
The original Birth of a Nation?
The one that came out recently.
That's a different one because that's, you know, black director, black producer.
Okay.
We did talk about a little bit in many shows ago on how that got sabotaged because of his past and
right.
everything else. No, Birth of a Nation did have a black director, did have a black producer. And
it's about Nat Turner. So
right.
There's no...
And so that is a different situation,
okay.
right?
Okay.
But also, that movie did not get quite the fanfare as, let's say, a
12 Years
a
Slave got multiple nominations. And
right.
Stuff.
Or, oh my God, Denzel Washington and Matthew Broderick. Why can't I think of
Glory?
It? Glory.
One, which was a fucking great movie.
Right, which is a great movie, but still, I mean, you know, it's just like you got little babyface Matthew Broderick, and it's like, oh, it's a true story. But,
right.
I mean, he's the hero, right? So. I think
can I go down that road for 1 second? Because there's a great scene in that movie that
no.
really kind of sucks. Okay,
like we get it. You're a movie buff. You know all about
right.
the movies.
And that's
there's
a movie.
There's a broader
go,
point.
Bring,
here.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I don't want to derail the point.
The issue is because we see so many of these movies about slavery, written by and through the perspective of white people. Which listen, you know me. I'm not anti-white guy. Right, I'm not that guy.
I'm here. You're giving me great whiskey. I'm good.
Right. But these movies are constantly written by white people for the specific purpose of are they, yeah, they're storytelling, but they're written for a reason because they're looking for an Academy Award nomination. Right?
Right.
I mean, like, and they tell a story and they do really good jobs of telling stories, but it just always seems like there's always a white character, whether
right.
it's Matthew Broderick or Matthew McConaughey, or you don't get a chance to be defensive on slavery. Stop.
Let me say what I was going to say because it feeds your point. There's a great scene in Glory where
Go ahead.
There's a great scene in there where the black soldiers who are going to fight in the war refuse to take a paycheck that is less than white soldiers. And Matthew Broderick says, if you men will not take this pay, none of us will. And he tears up his paycheck in front of them and everyone celebrates. Everyone's happy. But he's going back home to a wealthy Massachusetts family and they have nothing. So the whole scene is so powerful, supposedly, because this guy is uniting with these, you know, soldiers who are going to fight against the Confederacy, but he's going home to a manor in Massachusetts. They've got shit.
Right.
So that illustrates your point is where I was trying to go.
Right. Sorry. Understood. So, but I guess the broader point is if we're going to tell these stories of this country's original sin, right, which is slavery, then at some point in time, that needs to come from the perspective of the descendants of the people who experience that. And we have black filmmakers, we have black writers, we have black producers, we have black directors, we have black actors who can now effectively fill that role. And that's a story that as a country, it's a part of all of our history, but it's definitely a story that black people own. Right, because we can't get from underneath it. Now, we've made plenty of advancements in the last 150, 200 years, absolutely. But still, the impact of slavery can still be seen and felt today based off the way our prison system is, based off of just what happened last weekend, right?
Right.
You know, there's still people waving the rebel flag, talking about white supremacy and, you know, wiping non-white people off the earth or away from the United States. Right. Get out of our country and we'll die for the whole, right. You know, we're going to kill you and every all the other stuff. So I think that this is a story that needs to be told by the people who can probably tell it best and the people who can actually feel it and won't be looking for or to create a white hero, who aren't going to say, all right, well, to make this more palatable to the white audience, we will we'll bring in this
Woody
general
Harrelson. We'll bring in Woody Harrelson
or we'll bring in Matthew McConaughey or we'll go and bring in whoever it is, a great white actor and fill in the blanks.
George Clooney.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure George Clooney would probably be great in one of those types of roles, right? But
and he would mean it.
At some point in time, that story needs to be told from the perspective of the people who experienced it and felt it, right? And if you can't get those people because we're too far past it, then at least the people who can actually tell that story. And the other thing is, you know, these writers, why would I trust them with this? You know, that's kind of where I was going before you get me off topic. But you look at Game of Thrones, and Game of Thrones tells me, I don't know if I want you guys telling the story, right? Game of Thrones, you've got Daenerys, right?
Who
freed all the slaves. All those slaves are what? They're black.
They're
right? They're
darker.
Black. I mean, okay,
me.
They're darker.
Yeah.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
all
black.
Right. Yes.
Right? So these slaves, they're great fighters, but their dicks have been cut off and they had to be freed by who? The white lady. Okay? You have I mean, I
don't know how we got down this road, but you're doing a great job.
Well, how we got down this road is that the writers from Game of Thrones want to write a story about a fiction story as if the Confederates had won the Civil War. All right, the same people who there are very few black actors on the show Game of Thrones, and the few that are. You had the one black guy a couple seasons ago who, in the city of Hearth,
was a traitor, a scumbag,
and ended up locked up in a safe forever for the end of
time. With a white woman.
With a white woman by a white woman, right?
Yes.
And then you
I'm
had,
sorry, I was a dick.
Right, there was a pirate. There was a black pirate on the show. He had a couple episodes, but he was a pirate, and he was a scoundrel. He was a scumbag.
And
right?
there's Grey Worm, who's a castrated...
Yeah, and then you have... Grey Worm.
Grey Worm is the... Unsullied, leader of the Unsullied.
Oh, you're right. But I mean, but he's part of that Unsullied group. Again, black men, you know, nuts have been cut off and saved by a white woman to fight for and die for this white woman, right? Like, they left slavery to follow her. And, like, you can give me the, oh, well, that's
kind of
the...
I did give you that look.
All right, and I understand that you're... But that's the thing. You're not making that connection, but I am.
Okay.
Right? And so, like, you're going to tell me that... So those same people who are writing those storylines... Right, who don't have many, like, and the black actors that they have on the show right now are very light skinned and probably have a white parent.
not the scumbag guy. Mitch, he was darkest.
Right, and he's also no longer on the show.
True,
and locked
like
in
two
a,
episodes, three episodes.
You know, locked in a safe somewhere.
Yes.
So, I mean, now it's just like someone's looking at me or listening to this and saying, "Oh man, that's kind of nitpicky." Yeah, you're damn right. It is nitpicky. I'm gonna be nitpicky about it. Because if you're going to tell this story of what if the Confederates had taken over, then I need to make sure that I trust you to tell that story in a way that's not going to incite what we saw in Charlottesville. Now, it's HBO, and it's entertainment, and chances are they're going to be left-leaning, so chances are they're going to have, you know, a black hero in the show, and it's going to reflect kind of what we see in society, and they're going to make a couple of black heroes, and at the end of the day, we'll win with the help and the assistance of a super white hero, right? You know, like, because like it can't be a show where it's just black people winning, like, without the help of white people. There's going to have to be a white person who's helping us win.
So,
but I just, and so it's just like, fuck that. Why do you get to tell that? Why do you get to tell our story the way you want it told? Fuck you. I want to tell my story.
So you, all right. So you object to the show even existing because of the.
Let somebody else do it.
All right.
Let somebody else do it who actually is going to do it the way we want it done. Like, if it's science fiction, it is historical.
All right, whatever.
Right, or historical whatever. Fiction. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's fiction. It's not real.
Right.
Okay? Smart ass. It's not real. So how about this? Let a black person tell a story, right? And let's tell a story where we just win everything. Right, we form like all the black soldiers end up forming their own thing. They beat the South, they beat the North, and the black people run everything. There's no white heroes, no white people winning. It's just black dudes winning. Let's tell that story. That's fun. I want to do that. I want it on HBO, and I want everybody to watch it 10 o'clock on Sundays. That's what I want. Screw you, screw Confederate, screw this idea of you're gonna do a show. You know, there's gonna be some good black guys, but it's mostly gonna be good white people. Fuck that. I want all black guys all winning, and I want it to be funded by HBO like they fund Game of Thrones. That's what I want. And if you can't do that, then fuck you. You don't get your show Confederate. How about that?
All right. I didn't know that's where we were going to go.
I set you up.
You did kind of set me up.
It's a setup. It's a trap.
I mean, all right. I mean, I don't have a specific response to that. Like I said, I didn't know.
Well, here's the thing.
Obviously hit you and hit a nerve with you.
Well,
right?
It does, because if we are going to flip the tables on this whole idea of white supremacy and people like Stephen Bannon and Trump and the alt-right, then we as a country have got to get more comfortable with black people winning, right? We have to get more comfortable with that concept, and not just in sports. Right, like we have to get more comfortable with seeing, and we see it to a certain degree. And even when we see it right now, like you have a show on ABC called Black-ish,
right?
And people see that show, and there's people who like people don't know how to perceive that show. It's a very popular show. It's very successful. Mm-hmm. A lot of people watch it. It spans demographics, but there are still people who are kind of like, I don't know. I mean, because you know, I mean, it's
The common retort is, why do you got to make this about race? Why does it have to be about race? And that's a bullshit argument. I'll be the first to acknowledge that. Now, what you just said, I need to process because
Go ahead.
What's that?
You also didn't let me finish. But please,
all right, I will process you finish.
Too late now.
All right. I've ruined it. The white guy has taken over and ruined everything. Like, you know, so Black-ish, I've not watched it. I know Lawrence Fishburne's in it, and I'm a big fan of Lawrence Fishburne. But the common refrain is, why do you have to make this about race? And the truth is, we need to stop being uncomfortable with things that include race, right? Because my biggest beef is people who flip out as soon as race gets brought up. I brought up Dave from Philly's post earlier today. He said something about, you know, we can't talk about slavery because it's in the past, but we can't tear down these statues because they're history. And I put back on his Facebook page something really stupid. I don't remember exactly what I said. It was just intended to, you know, I said, why do you all you black people have to focus on slavery? You're making me uncomfortable. So anyway, that's just, you know, like I said, I do feel like I need to process things, but I see your point.
It's not a huge deal. Now, there's a movement on Twitter, and I participated in that movement. You know, No Confederate, it's the same woman who said, the woman behind that movement of No Confederate. She's the same woman who was behind Oscar So White. Which we talked about on our old show, with Glenn and Dean. And, you know, part of my thing with her is that, like, she's kind of making a thing out of the ability to get movements going on the internet, which there's nothing wrong with it. So I'm just kind of keeping an eye out. Like,
So would it be fair to say this is the whole, you hear one thing and you get a bit edgy and hear another thing, and you're like, all right. And then the third goes, okay, now you've got my Spidey sense going.
What do you mean?
I'm honestly ripping off from Chris Rock again, which I know you love when I do, but he was like, you know, when after 9/11, when they said, you know, fuck all these Arabs, I was like, okay, that's cool. And fuck this. And then I said, fuck the French. I'm like, wait a minute. I know niggers and Jews are next.
Right. I mean, it's same sort of idea. And I guess, but part of it too is just kind of wanting to own a certain space.
Have your history told by someone who can actually
tell it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now there's, you know, now people say, oh, well, what about, you know, stories about World War II and,
or even look Ken Burns in Civil War. He did some great stuff.
And there's nothing, I'm not saying that, you know, white people don't make great movies about slavery and Civil War and World War II and whatever. And those stories should only be told by the people who experienced the worst of it. No, that's not what I'm saying.
So
what
I am saying, sound like Shaq and Blue Chips.
But what I am saying is you got one more movie reference, and then I'm going to stab you with whatever
you
I can.
You don't have
find.
Much in stab.
I know,
range.
which means it's going to be worse. But I just think at some point in time, these stories need to be told on a large scale with the backing of something like an HBO or a major studio by the people who probably can tell the story best. And so if that means that the guys from Game of Thrones don't get to do their show because let's let somebody black do it, then I'm okay with that. You know why? You have Game of Thrones. You know, I don't have, you know, like black people don't have a show like that on HBO. You know, like they have some shows that are rising with some success, like, you know,
Insecure is the one I have not watched. Have you watched it?
I haven't. I mean, it's a show
it's really for black women, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a show about black women and black relationships.
Lena Dunham show. What was that show?
Girls. Right.
Insecure is basically a black version of Girls, right?
Which is great. And it's about black women dating, you know, in, I believe, Los Angeles or New York or whatever, in a big city.
Right.
And you know, I...
It's clearly not targeted to us. Like, I watched Entourage. I loved Entourage. Right. Entourage was white guy Sex in the City.
Yeah.
That's, and Sex in the City, cool. Great show. It wasn't really targeted to me. I did watch a fair bit of it because it was... I like Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well, I didn't. I watched that show just because I was in college. I was in college when that show came on, and... You know, it was, you know, that was a douchebag thing guys did, would do things like, you know, they would listen to John Mayer because the girls like John Mayer or Dave Matthews.
Right.
They would watch Sex in the City. And so I, like, any of that shit,
it was the
you
thing
know,
you did to ingratiate yourself.
Right. Like, so I was the opposite of all that, right? Like,
no trouble envisioning that.
Right. Like, it's just like, John Mayer, fuck him. I'll fight him in the street. Dave Matthews, fuck him. I'll light him on fire. Sex in the City, won't watch it to save my own life, you know? Right. But then one night, I was up late, couldn't sleep. I think it was after midterms or something along those lines, and I was so hopped up on caffeine, I couldn't get it out of my system for a week, and was just up late and ended up watching like a marathon of Sex in the City, and was just like, you know what, this show's not half bad. And that's how I ended up watching. Actually, I watched that show, watched the first movie, and then realized, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And got out of it, didn't see the second one at all, but... you know,
either did anyone else.
Either way, the whole point of that is there's nothing. I don't think that there's anything wrong with people saying, you know what, screw it. We don't want to see that. We've had that. We've seen that story told by you people multiple times. How about we take a stab at it? How about we take a shot at it? And if that upsets people, I'm just like, oh, that's racist. It's not racist, but if you want to do it, I actually don't give a fuck because we're just gonna do it anyway. You know, I mean, that's the other thing. I think that, like as black people, we have to start to just take what we want. We have to take what we want, not in a criminal fashion, but we have to take what we want. We want a spot in Hollywood. Fuck it. We're going to take it.
And
we want studios. We want something better than BET. We want something better than Oprah's network. Then we have to make it, and we have to make room for it, and then we have to shove it down your throats, just like you guys did with every other fucking TV station and movie studio and everything else. Right?
I used to have this fight with classmates when I was in college, because there was a magazine called Black Engineer, and I went to school at West Virginia University. This may shock you. Not a huge black population in the engineering school at West Virginia University. And one of my classmates, who I consider a dear friend, I was in his wedding, said, "That's bullshit. Why can't we have white engineer?" I'm like, "We do. It's everything else."
Yeah, so, I mean, and that's... So, I mean,
but oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to say that what you're saying, I understand. Part of the problem is, and I don't know the solution, and I'm happy to debate that, is HBO and Showtime or whatever needs to accept and embrace that, right? So someone needs to do what you're asking for, and then mainstream needs to accept and embrace it because it's all about money.
Well, and I think HBO is doing it to a certain degree, right? Like, you have the show Insecure, which is gaining in popularity, and I think it has a cult following like Girls did. Now, hopefully, Issa Rae, who's like the star and writer of the show, doesn't completely melt down like Lena Dunham. I think Lena Dunham is just a complete shit show of a human being. I can't stand her. And I like she's
I don't object to her. I don't have.
I really do. She's like she takes things way too far. She makes it. Like when you and I are trying to have a rational conversation, she comes in with something so irrational and stupid that we can no longer have a rational conversation. Because if you're a conservative and I'm a liberal, I now have to deal with that, right? Like, she throws her pile of shit right in the middle of our conversation.
She definitely loves,
and it's just oh, okay, all right, well, yeah, but she's technically not with me, and it's just like, but I can't shed her. You know, I mean, and so anyway. But I think HBO is definitely one of the leaders in saying, if it's about something different, we'll take a look at it and we will give it support and backing. Right?
They've done a good job.
They
put some great stuff out there.
Listen, they tell a lot of different stories on HBO. With some of their HBO original type movies. Their shows are different. Listen, we both watch. I love Game of Thrones. I watch it. You know, I watch it every week for the last 7 seasons.
Right.
No, I'm watching it intently. Yeah, like this season especially. Now they got rid of George R.R. Martin. Like, he gave a great base. But now that they've gotten rid of him and they're speeding things up, it now every week the show is just punching you in the face with, wow. And that's okay.
Agreed. There are entire podcasts dedicated to breaking down Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And I've listened to one of them.
I have not. I
respect
far.
You more than I respect myself, because I'm mad at myself. We're spending an hour a week listening to someone break down what I watched. Listen, myself.
You drive.
I drive 5 hours.
You know, you drive 10 hours round trip every week. So I can, you know, I can give you that. At some point, you just got to find different shit to listen to. I do not. So, but anyway, that's my take on Confederate. It's not so much about, and it's here's the other part. This is why this is hard for us, right? Because I say I want to tell my story my way, and I sound like a black nationalist. You know, it's like, oh, whoa, why are you getting so?
Why is it gotta be a race, bro?
Right? It's all about race, and you're uppity, and you're you know, it's just aggressive and aggression and all other stuff. And it's just, no, I just want a story told a certain way. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's plenty. We allow that with women in, you know, with different movies and things that about women. They're like, no, we're going to tell the story our way about women. No man can understand this. And so I think that as black people should do the same thing. And I think that, I think that Arabic people should do the same thing, to tell their story. Don't let white people write the narrative of what it means to be an Arabic person in the United States or in the world. Like, start to tell your story your way. Indian, Mexican, Latino,
Native American.
Whatever. Native American. All of those, like every different group. Asian, Chinese, Japanese, North Korea, please. So we have some idea what the fuck is going on over there.
That's fallen off the map, hasn't it?
And I don't mean that as a way to divide people, but to educate people, right? Like, so we can all have, like, so we can see something different. What's the main gripe about Hollywood? It's the same thing over and over and over again. It's sequels. It's the same stories. It's remakes. All right. Well, how about we have different cultures tell their stories and the different things that happen in their culture, so we can see how we're alike and how we're different. Maybe that helps Hollywood. I don't know.
Maybe it helps Charlottesville. Maybe it helps people understand people. I you know, you went on a rant there, and I'm fine with that.
Thanks for allowing that.
Well, awkward silence to follow. I didn't know that's where you were going when you brought up wanting to talk about the show Confederate, but that's cool. I think one thing I really enjoy about talking to you is we don't shy away from things that people get uncomfortable about. That what you've said is completely fair. I've got nothing to rebut. I'm not going to try to give a one thing I fucking hate about how we've become as an entertainment or news society is now the white guy will jump in and say, here's why white people should be telling the story. I don't have that. I'm not going to do that. And that would be disrespectful to you and the whole concept, what you just said. So I, you know, you asked me if I would watch that show if it came out. I would. If a show that had a different perspective came on, I'd watch that as well. I just admitted I don't watch Insecure because I don't have a lot of time and it's really not targeted to me. But if I watched it and entertained me, I'd watch it just like I watched Sex and the City. I didn't jump through, you know, hoops to see it, but I watched it. It did entertain me. And I said,
well, I mean, and it's for me, TV watching and TV viewing is, I don't, rarely is there a TV show that gets advertised or promoted where I say, I'm going to sit down every week and I'm going to watch that for sure.
It Game just of Thrones, ironically, might be the exception.
Well, no, it's not, because when the show came out and it was marketed and promoted, I don't even remember it. I didn't get into Game of Thrones until like the third season, but then I tripped and one of those things again, you know, because I don't sleep at night a lot, so you know I'm up. I need to get out from in front of my computer. Obviously, I can't go to bed yet because I can't sleep. So I turn on HBO, and it's some random show. And I don't know that it's Game of Thrones. I didn't know that it was True Blood. I just kind of watch it, and then I'm like, oh, there's another episode. And I watch that. Oh, there's another episode. Oh, now it's on demand. I can see. Oh. And then that's how it happens. That's how it happened with Game of Thrones. So there's no show that I go in that I don't fall into marketing. So, and that's not that I'm great or anything. It's just that I got a lot of shit going on. So a lot of shows that I watch, I just kind of stumble upon, you know. And then fortunately, because we live in this era where things are on demand and I can go to Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, I can get caught up and then be ready for the next season, right?
And we talked a long time ago, about how a show that did focus on a black theme and black culture was, I want to say Luke Cage. If I fucked up the name, mm-hmm. I apologize. But there was that on Netflix? What was
yep,
that?
Yep, Luke Cage was on Netflix.
Okay. And we talked about this. A bunch of people got bent out of shape about why does this have to be so ethnic? And why? It was, you know.
It's a black comic book
character. It's a black comic book character.
Directed at young black kids.
In the Bronx.
Shocking.
Shockingly.
Right. I mean, it just, you know, we can move past it because I definitely want to get to the, you know, sports topics. But listen, at the... it's entertainment.
We have not had the drink of atonement yet, but that almost cost a drink of atonement.
It's entertainment, and we should all be open to the idea of different people telling us different stories. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we get better.
Seeing these perspectives of other people's eyes.
Me telling a story from my perspective, just because you don't necessarily get to tell that story doesn't hurt you, right? You can tell another story.
Agreed.
You can tell your story. But anyway, moving on to... Let's go to sports.
Let's go to sports, and let's talk about the upcoming NFL season.
Which, thrilled
around
about
the corner.
Figuring out fantasy teams, figuring out draft order, draft position, you know, watching these preseason games, trying to see who's going to be effective, who's not. And besides all that, there's the kind of on the field but not necessarily on the field issues of, you know, of different protests.
National anthem protests, yep. So, all right, a couple things to say about that. Colin Kaepernick still does not have a job in the NFL. A lot of people are upset about that. there are clearly quarterbacks in the NFL as backups who Colin Kaepernick is better than. I think we've covered that pretty aggressively.
Yeah, we have. I mean, we just talked about it this past week where, you know, I said, listen, I think that there's clearly people that are in the league that, you know, one, shouldn't be, and two, he's better than. His numbers are pretty decent and should be, I mean, at least should be a backup. I don't, there's a lot of people out there saying he's asking for things that he's not. And, you know, there's a lot of false narratives out there that are thrown out. My issues with Colin Kaepernick is that he did hurt himself. You wear the socks with the pigs on them for the, you know, representing the police. You wear the, you know, the Castro shirt, and you don't vote, right. And you don't vote. Then, you know, those are things people are going to look at. And, you know, while I think based off of talent, you should be there. It, you know, if it were just going off of merit, you should be there. And based off of, you know, the fact that it shouldn't be held against you what your protest was. But then at the same time, you know,
the NFL protects its brand. The NFL so protects aggressively. Its brand.
And I, you know, people want to boycott the NFL. That's fine.
Go
but
ahead.
Listen, you want to, but there's, listen, there's, you got other, we got way bigger issues than, you know, than the NFL. And the way that their owners protected their brand and their league.
And
their
we saw this week, Chris Long put his hand on the shoulder of...
Chris Long, son of Howie Long.
Son of Howie Long. Put his hand on the shoulder of Malcolm Jenkins. And basically, while he was sitting... Was he sitting or kneeling? He was kneeling.
I thought they were standing, actually.
Chris Long... Oh, shit. We should have looked this up. Anyway.
Well, I just saw the picture, and I can only see their upper body. So okay,
I think he was kneeling or sitting or kneeling. Malcolm Jenkins was. And Chris Long put his hand on his shoulder, basically saying, I'm with you, brother. And there's been a lot of call out for, you know, when will a white Michael Bennett from Seattle has been joining this protest and saying, you know, here's why I'm doing it. There's been a lot of false narrative, right? There's been a lot of, you're disrespecting America. The people who have engaged in this protest have made it very clear what they're trying to draw attention to. So if you don't like how they're doing it, deal with it. But what they are drawing attention to, what they are saying is that law enforcement and policing in poor, largely minority communities is not fair, is not consistent. And I think
even Colin Kaepernick, I mean, you can be
he
as pissed off.
He said the same thing.
I mean, but even though, like, you can be as pissed off at him about this, that, not you, but in general, you can be as pissed off about it as you want to be. It still brought attention to the San Francisco Police Department and Oakland's Police Department, where because of what he did and the sort of attention that it received, discussions happened between the police and between the communities, right? He raised money. He raised awareness. Now, you want to say, oh, it's disrespect. This is what it was about. This is what it was about. It was about having a conversation. And so if... The San Francisco Police Department and the Oakland Police Department, because they're so close together and they were so close to Colin Kaepernick's protests, were able to have conversations in communities where they normally don't talk to the citizens, they just arrest them, then and if those conversations maybe created some sort of a relationship where it saved a kid's life or a police officer's life.
Right.
Or maybe it keeps someone out of jail. Or maybe it allows a kid or a person in that neighborhood to say, hey, Officer so-and-so, remember you talked to me at the barbershop? Hey, I need to tell you something that I saw. And that may help you solve a crime. Right? And those are good things. Whether you want to admit it, whether you want to go down some false narrative, some you want to pivot off of it and go another direction, if it saved one life, then it was worth it. And so the idea that people want to get upset about this and not watch the NFL, fine.
Don't, right.
Don't. NFL will do just fine. Oh, well, viewership dropped. They still made $8 billion fucking dollars. All right, so don't give me this shit about, oh, well, see, like Breitbart loves this idea that viewership dropped in the NFL, and it's because of us, because they had Colin Kaepernick, and these black players are protesting. Fine, don't watch. Oddly enough, NFL manages to make it. They're doing just fine. So,
and the when you break it down, when you ask yourself the question, let's look at recent events. The protests in Charlottesville led to a couple of deaths, three deaths. With, I mean, the officers that crashed in their helicopter plus Heather Heyer. A lot of violence, a lot of arrests. And the issue they were trying to bring up is disgusting, right? It was white supremacy. It was racial division. It was destroy this country. Mm-hmm. You look at Colin Kaepernick and Malcolm Jenkins and Michael Bennett, and they are doing nothing that hurts anyone. They are making a legitimate, they're making a small gesture that points the light on a legitimate issue. And what really pisses me off is that it gets distracted from the protest gets distracted from the issue. They want to make it, you're disrespecting the troops. No, they're not. They are saying flat out, you know, we have family members and friends in the military. We are not talking about them at all. I am choosing a physical posture for 2.5 minutes once a week to say, hey, this is a real problem in this country. And it's really easy for me as a 40-something white guy to say it doesn't affect me. But I can't say it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable that our country allows people to get treated differently based on the amount of melanin in their skin to be literally incarcerated. And once you're in that system, you are fucked. And that a guy like Colin Kaepernick wants to draw attention to that and say, hey, this needs to get fixed, and I'm going to choose a different body posture for 2.5 minutes before an event that I...
But Jim, he's a millionaire.
Right, exactly.
He's a millionaire.
How dare he? You're throwing my snarkiness back at me. Well done, my friend. But really, that argument is such bullshit. Yeah, he's a millionaire, so therefore he should stop carrying out people who aren't.
Yep.
That argument gets made all the fucking time. It's a flawed argument. I'm on a rant. I'm going to try to tone it down and not call names to people who get away with doing this bullshit. But that's what it's all about. This protest is putting a spotlight on things, and we need to start looking at what that spotlight is on and not at who's doing it. I don't really care what Michael Bennett thinks or Malcolm Jenkins thinks about steakhouses or whatever. If they put out something that I'm interested in, I'd listen to it, and if they sucked and they were wrong, fine. I would disagree or agree. But now they're pointing at something that affects American citizens, and they're trying to make people look at things that are uncomfortable. I teased a little bit on the last show that our buddy Dave from Philly put something about how, you know, we can't talk about slavery because that makes us uncomfortable, and that was a long time ago, but let's keep these Confederate statues because that's history. And I snarkily put on his Facebook page, why do you black people need to bring this stuff up? It's making me uncomfortable, because I was trying to be a dick. And I think I'm being funny when I do that on Facebook. But in the real world, we need to start owning reality. And the reality is that the issues that are being protested by Malcolm Jenkins, by Michael Bennett, by Colin Kaepernick are real. And if you want to fix them, let's fucking fix them. Put your energy towards...
But here's the problem. You say if you want to fix them, who is you?
Us as America, everyone.
Right, and so that means... The thing is, I don't believe... See, people, like, wanting to fix something, like, people have distorted that idea and that whole concept of actually wanting to fix these problems, right? Because, you know, your conservatives will jump out and say anything that is related to Black Lives Matter or, you know, these Kaepernick protests or, you know, Obama just waking up in the morning, it always points back to, oh, shootings in Chicago. How many people were shot and killed in Chicago, right? And my question to you
That's
is,
a deflection.
Do you actually care? Do you actually care
about what?
About what's happening in Chicago? Not to you, but what I'm saying is the person who deflects to Chicago and says, oh, what about the shootings in Chicago? Like, do you actually care if they stop? Does it actually hurt you and pain you, the number of people whose lives have been lost in the city of Chicago? Have you been there? Have you seen it? Have you seen the destruction? Have you seen the despair? Have you driven through the streets and seen all the makeshift monuments and the flowers and the pictures and mothers just crying on the street when you drive by because their son was murdered by a telephone pole? Have you seen that? Have you been there? Have you done that? No? You just like to spout it out because who? Some right-wing conservative radio host said it, right? Or you saw it on a meme, on a picture on Facebook, right? Like someone put a meme up that had words on it, so you believe that to be true, right? I mean, so my point is, you know, people go to this whole thing about Chicago shootings, but they don't really give a fuck about what happens in Chicago. The shootings could stop tomorrow. They wouldn't know the difference. They'd still say, oh, what about the shootings in Chicago? Or the shootings could increase tenfold, and it wouldn't affect them. It wouldn't hurt them. They wouldn't give a shit.
And these are not mutually exclusive things. That's part of the problem, too, right? You say, here's a problem. Well, here's a different problem that I can put entirely on the black community. Therefore, I can deflect from this because of that. And that's a bullshit argument.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, on a somewhat personal level, if you listen to our old show, I talked many times about driving, being a Lyft driver. I was doing a business startup, and I drove for Lyft, and I drove a lot of people during the day. And I had a few incidents where I picked up people and drove them to hospitals in inner city Cleveland shortly after losing a family member. And it was brutal. I was watching people who had just lost a family member. And it was street violence in the city of Cleveland, which is not as bad as Chicago, but not for lack of trying. And so I saw that face to face. And Steve, I know what you're saying, that it's easy to be removed from that. However, I oddly and weirdly have seen it up close and personal. And it's tragic. I'm literally talking to a woman. The one story I'm telling in particular is a woman who I dropped off someone, and I was in the area around the emergency room, and this woman is crying, telling her friend, thank you for coming. I'm sorry we're having to see each other under these circumstances again. And I'm witnessing this human moment completely abstractly, and it was just devastating. I mean, I don't know what her relationship was to the deceased. Or I don't even know the person that she was going to see died or not, but it certainly sounded like that based on the conversation. But she was at the ER in downtown Cleveland, and those issues are real, and those need to get made better. But you can't deflect away from the fact that on top of that, there's this other issue. And again, they're not mutually exclusive.
Well, they're not mutually exclusive, and in a way, they are definitely connected. Right? Like, not in a way. They are
no, not there. Exactly. They're totally connected.
I mean, they're definitely connected in that, you know, what goes on in these neighborhoods isn't necessarily the fault of the police, right? It's not the fault of the you know, you have a 25-year-old officer, you know, his second year on the job. It is not his fault specifically as to what is happening in the streets of on the south side of Chicago or the east side of Cleveland. You know, he has a job, and he goes in, and, you know, his first day on the job, he drives in, and he sees people on the street. So he has to make a decision on what type of officer he's going to be, right?
Right.
Now, but anything happening before that, anything happening while he's trying to make that decision, he's not necessarily influencing. And so there's a couple different things at work here. We as a people, black people, especially in the inner city, have to figure out how to deal with the issues that are plaguing our neighborhoods, right? There's the violence, there's the education, there's the, you know, the single parent homes and the single mothers and all that stuff. We got the health, all of it. You know why we have to do it? Because no one else cares enough to do it. No one's going to do it for us. Right. And that's not me. That's not conservative yelling at a liberal. That's saying, listen, we have got to take it because otherwise they will destroy us if we don't. Right. Like they will literally destroy us. They've already wiped out an entire generation. Right. There's an entire generation that is gone because of being in the criminal justice.
Prison.
Right.
All right.
Right. Just gone. Right. You're not going to be able to get that back. Like these men are in prison. They've been there for 10 or 15 years. What are they going to do? Right. There'll be a few. there'll be a few good stories where they come out and they, you know, were able to do something and manifest and, you know, and change their lives and other people's lives, which is great. But for the majority of them, vast majority of them, they're basically zombies. They have no options. They have no choices. And so
the system is so set against them, right?
It is.
So if you end up in the criminal justice system, to get out of it is stacked strongly against
the money. The money that you have to pay, the money that you're owed, the debt that you're in,
the meetings you have to go to without going back to prison once you're there. It's ridiculous.
Right, it's,
and Vice, you brought up Vice earlier in the show, does a great job of showing like just how fucked up the system is.
Mm-hmm.
And so Vice News is something that I really respect. I want to see more of.
Right. They do something on HBO every pretty much weekly. It's weekly.
It is nightly, I think,
yeah,
right?
And so you can get plenty of it there, but listen. The issues going on in the hood are they're so complex. It's not just about Black people need to make better choices. It's not just about police need to stop being abusive towards Black people. It's not just those two things. There's so many different things built into that. I mean, we're talking about 100 years of just a lot of shit flowing from everywhere, from federal government, from state governments, from culture, from neighbors, from entertainment, drugs, all of it. There's so many different issues that there's not just two simple answers. You guys need to act right, and police need to stop beating and killing us. Right? Like that's that's such a Neanderthal way to look at it.
So let me dial it back though to Chris Long, because Chris Long is the first white professional athlete to show solidarity.
Nope, that's not true.
Who is?
The girl on the soccer girl. There's a girl in the ML, female player.
Oh.
And listen.
All right.
But, I mean, now this is where, what's interesting. She's white, she's a female, she plays soccer, professional soccer.
Is it Megan Rapahoe?
I believe something similar, and
I think it was Megan Rapinoe. Yeah,
she knelt during the national anthem,
right?
And she didn't see nearly the same backlash. I'm sure she got some. I'm sure if you go on Breitbart, I'm sure they covered it, and I'm sure that she was very well attacked in the comments section. But you know, she didn't have people like Jim Nance or Chris Collinsworth or Phil Simms or somebody like that saying that she needs to stand up and stop being blah, 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 or whatever. Because all of those guys had, or Boomer Esiason, or, she didn't have
Kurt
anyone.
Kurt Schilling, your boy.
Right. I mean, she didn't have anybody come out and attack her for what she did. And I think part of it, being in, professional women's soccer, they're much more progressive, because to get to the point where you have a professional women's soccer league, it requires,
The people watching are watching soccer, B are watching women, so they're not the NFL crowd. I mean, I'm part of both. I love women's soccer, actually, because it's a really well played game. I played soccer in high school, and
yeah, that's why.
No, it is. Oh, they're hot too. I'm not going to deny that.
Look,
I love Mia Hamm, who was once married to Nomar Garcia-Para.
Are they not married anymore?
I don't think so. I don't care. In my mind, they're not.
In my fantasy, Nomar. Nomar is Nomar.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Anyway, I do find women's female soccer players hot, but I also love the game they play. They play it very because their goalies aren't as good. There's
off
no
topic.
Scored. Yes.
Just reel it back in.
Well,
the reason why I said that was just that, like,
this is me opening whiskey bottle again more splash.
She wasn't. She was a white athlete who said, you know what, I am standing or kneeling in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick.
Chris Long is the first white NFL player. So you right, call me out saying,
yeah. Well, and that's important though, because to your point that there have been white NFL players who have made comments, maybe under anonymity, or they've vocally said something, but most NFL players are taking the line, they're towing the company line, right? Like, well, you know, so-and-so has the right to do whatever, and, you know, I love our troops, and I'll stand for it because, you know, my grandfather was in Vietnam, right? Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what you say. It's what you've been coached to say. I mean, these guys are very, you know, there's a certain robot sort of...
So I get so mad when people say, though, that Colin Kaepernick's thing is disrespecting the troops. He has very clearly said that is not his point.
But it doesn't matter. But
it
doesn't, I mean,
you're right. But it drives me nuts, Steve.
I get it. But, I mean, again, he's not allowed. He isn't allowed to. The people that oppose him aren't going to allow him to write this narrative. No. Right? Like, why would they? Why would they?
Of course they wouldn't. They outnumber their outrage.
They outnumber him. They outnumber us by so much that why would they give up that power play? No, Colin Kaepernick, you don't actually get to present a common sense, you know, good reason for doing what you're doing.
Right.
Actually, we're going to go ahead and shift the narrative away from what you want it to be about. We're going to make it about what we want it to be about so we can justify, again, our false victimhood, our false narratives, our faux outrage about just, you know, stuff involving black people. They're getting all rowdy and uppity and stuff. If they would just stop killing each other, everything would be fine.
I don't... What's your story again?
What?
It's tough.
It's a complex issue.
Right.
It's a complex issue. Can we just, if I.
But we need to be honest, and this is why I love talking to you about this stuff is, so. We're fighting a microphone cord. Clearly the issues in the inner city are a problem. They need to get fixed, and some of that comes from the community. Unrelated to that, we need to change the way law enforcement acts in those communities, and
to a certain degree. But here's the thing:
they're not unrelated.
Well. Here's the thing. Since Trayvon Martin, Black Lives Matter, Michael Brown, Colin Kaepernick, Philando Castile, what have we seen more over the last 5 years? We've seen more cameras. Now, cameras aren't the end all be all, but we're getting more cameras. We're seeing more coverage of what happens in these situations. Now, we're not at a point yet where we feel it's just. We only have really one officer that's been really found guilty of anything, who we know is being punished. And that's the officer that shot Walter Scott down in
right.
Lower Charleston.
Slager? Michael Slager?
Yeah, Slager. So we're not where we want to be, and where we want to be is just listen. If a police officer shoots an unarmed citizen, right? Or they shoot a citizen and it's under suspicious circumstances, one, investigated. Two, if it's clear as day he shot a guy running away from him, then he needs to go to jail. There needs to be a punishment for that. All right? Just because a guy has a warrant because he didn't pay child support, or the guy has a bunch of tickets, or the guy likes to smoke weed or crack, right? Like, I mean, just because a guy is generally what we consider a shitty guy because he does drugs and he doesn't pay his child support, that's not a death sentence. That's the part that,
right.
that's what we're saying. That's what Black Lives Matter is saying, all right? Just arrest him, all right? If he fights, then okay, do what you got to do to take him down, but let's just be honest about it. Just be a good person, do your job. Yes, you have to come home, but... If the idea of a black person in the street in a car is terrifying to you, then you probably shouldn't be a police officer.
Totally agreed.
Right? Like, so yep. just here's the thing. If they did something wrong, arrest them. Right? Like,
and
you know, because here's the thing. Because what do people say? You know, if you feel that the police officer is wrong, then don't resist arrest. Just battle it out in court.
Win
it in court. Right? Doesn't work out well for us, statistically, but you live. Okay? So on the flip side of that is if you got an unarmed person who's not thrilled about the idea of being arrested, then don't shoot them and kill them. All right? And if you do shoot them and kill them and they're unarmed, then there should be a punishment for that. That is the argument. That is the conversation. That cannot be disputed. It cannot be denied. Yes.
You're trying to steal Wilkow's.
I'm not stealing it. I don't want to because he seems like the type that would sue. You know, right, Steve Wilkow, he's real Andrew. Tough on the Andrew Wilkow. He's real. I'm thinking of the guy from fucking Maury Povich, but you know, Andrew Wilkow is real tough on the radio. You know, but he seems like the type that's really hypersensitive and probably would sue. Like, oh, you stole my phrase. And then if you saw him,
we
in
are
person,
right. He is wrong. End of discussion. All right, let's wrap this up, man. We're over an hour now. We're at an hour now.
Okay. You want to fight about it?
No, I don't want to fight about it. Do you?
No.
Right now, you don't.
No, I don't.
For the rare occasion, you don't. All right.
I'm wounded.
We are at Whiskey Congress. We're whiskeycongress.com. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere you can find podcasts. We are on all social media.
Right.
We're
you can find
YouTube.
Us.
We're
hold on.
Stop. YouTube game.
Hold
Go ahead.
On. We are on Twitter at Whiskey Congress. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram. On Facebook, you can find us, facebook.com/WhiskeyCongress. On YouTube, just put in Whiskey Congress. We come up. You know, we're getting kind of popular, kids. So, you know.
We're popular. All right. Good night. You know that song, do you?